Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall Credit Card Bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
The T-Biz podcast delivers tea news that you need to know. A recap of the week's major headlines with commentary and cultural trends hosted by Dan Bolton. It is the voice of origin for tea professionals and enthusiasts worldwide.
Tea nourishes and inspires. It is an ancient plant-based medicine that heals and energizes the body while soothes the mind. Transforming the leaf requires a fusion of artistry, craftsmanship, and commerce. The tea trade is fundamentally local, yet exerts a global influence, generating $260 billion in sales and employing millions to enhance the well-being of all. Hello, everyone. Here are this week's headline. The U.S. delays the hardest-hitting tariffs. Japan adapts to a matcha shortfall. And China enjoys a fine Qingming. Plus, every purchase matters. Since 1998, consumers purchasing fair trade certified products, including tea, have directed $1.2 billion in increased income to more than 1 million farmers, workers, and their families. Fairtrade USA certifies 1,700 major brands and retailers, ranging from Albertsons and Costco to Kroger, Target, Whole Foods, and Walmart. In his new book, Every Purchase Matters, Fairtrade USA founder Paul Rice writes, quote, "Social change takes time. I believe it's all about creative problem solving and re-engineering business models to deliver sustainability, profitability, and impact," end quote. Paul joins us to discuss the intrinsic value of fair trade and the critical role of consumer purchasing power in driving positive changes in the tea industry. More in a minute, but first, this important message.
What happens when businesses along the tea supply chain get together and support women and children in tea communities? The Mother and Child-Friendly Seal for Responsible Business is creating long-term positive impacts, making your cup of Ceylon tea all the sweeter. Learn more at srilanka-motherandchildseal.org.
On Wednesday, President Trump delayed imposing his harshest tariffs for 90 days, then singled out China for retaliation by increasing levies on Chinese goods 125%. The new levies are in response to China's 84% duties on U.S. goods and cumulatively raise the cost of importing tea from 7.5% in January to at least 125%. The announcement buoyed markets that had seen at least $19 trillion in equity vanish since February 19th when the S&P 500 index closed at a record high. The Trump administration said the pause would enable more than 70 countries to lower tariffs on U.S. goods and make concessions that the U.S. hopes will ultimately lead to reshoring manufacturing, jobs, and a balance in traded goods. Canada and Mexico must pay a 10% tariff on goods that do not qualify under the USMCA Free Trade Agreement. Tea qualifies. On Wednesday, China vowed to, quote, fight to the end, end quote, as it imposed retaliatory tariffs matching 34% plus 50% reciprocal tariffs President Trump initiated above the 10% baseline imposed on every country worldwide. Bloomberg News reported that Trump said late Tuesday that Chinese officials, quote, want to make a deal, end quote, but that appears unlikely in the short term. The two countries agreed to establish a, quote, strategic channel, end quote, to ensure communication, but no mechanism was established. What does a full-blown trade war hold for tea? Fewer choices at much higher prices. Imposing 100% duties on Chinese goods will virtually eliminate tea imports from China. In 2024, U.S. importers paid an average $5.20 per kilo for Chinese tea. Will they pay $11.70 per kilo for the same quality tea in 2025? Reciprocal tariffs directed at Cambodia, India, Vietnam, Thailand, Japan, South Korea will significantly increase the cost of tea for consumers facing a recession. Tea arriving from the tea lands for the past century was deemed, quote, non-competitive, end quote, and entered duty-free. Some flavored teas incurred a 10% duty, but the 49% duties imposed on Cambodia, 46% duties on Vietnam, 44% on Sri Lanka, 36% on Thailand, and 26% charged India is unprecedented. Tea is a low-cost item in the grocery cart. Importers purchase tea for $5 to $10 a kilo, but the cost of goods is now rising to $22.50 per kilo before logistics and markup. Even a colossal tariff is manageable when applied to a 5-penny private label tea bag, but a 250-gram pouch that sells for $15 will now cost $33.75. Consider a $100 Xing raw puer cake. Will U.S. tea enthusiasts pay $225? Is it fair when their peers in other countries still pay $100? Can specialty tea shops and e-commerce retailers absorb these costs? More ominous for online tea buyers purchasing from China and Hong Kong is the May 2nd elimination of the de minimis tariff exemption, which had accelerated online sales valued at billions, including large volumes of small tea packets. Previously, purchases of Chinese tea valued at less than $800 were exempt from the tariffs. The exemption was revoked on February 4th and temporarily restated on March 10th to allow the Commerce Department to develop systems for processing and collecting tariffs on these low-value shipments. Customs and Border Patrol processed more than 4 million de minimis shipments daily. In 2022, 83% of all U.S. e-commerce imports used the de minimis loophole. Imports that qualified for the $800 or less exemption now face a duty of either 30% of their value or $25 per item. The $25 tax increases to $50 per item after June 1st. The tax is in lieu of any other duties. Demand for Japan's ancient emerald powdered tea has outstripped supply as exports of the superfood surged ninefold. According to data from the Ministry of Agriculture, Forestry, and Fisheries of Japan, the export value of green tea, including matcha, reached an all-time high of 36.4 billion yen, that's about 244 million U.S., in 2024, roughly a 25% increase from the previous year. What's driving interest in matcha? Health and wellness fuel the engine of growth, along with matcha's versatility as an ingredient in baking, confectionery, ice cream, tea lattes, and smoothies. Powdered green tea is ladled onto ramen noodles at lunch, sprinkled on dinner salads, used as a filling in matcha cream puffs for dessert, and blended into shortbread snacks. A travel boom to Japan led to the recent spike in sales. According to Bloomberg News, 37 million people visited the country last year, a 47% increase over 2023. Quote, visitors are flooding social media with their favorite Japanese treats, writes Bloomberg, citing influencers on TikTok creating innovative matcha lattes. Matcha is harvested only once a year. Record exports and tourist demand have exhausted reserves to the point that retailers and wholesalers are limiting purchases. Tea production in Japan has declined by 20% over the past 15 years, and domestic spending on green tea has fallen by nearly 40%. This combination has led Japanese officials to enhance their efforts to appeal directly to consumers online, resulting in record exports. The U.S. is a top destination, but so are Europe and Australia. Yukino Matsumoto, owner of Simply Native, a tea shop in Sydney, Australia, told Bloomberg that matcha sales increased almost fivefold last year compared to 2023. Google Trends has tracked search terms for 20 years. Matcha was relatively unknown until 2015. The index's interest over time matcha trend line gradually eclipsed that of green tea over the next 10 years, spiking after the pandemic. In March 2025, the index climbed to 100. Last week, April 6 to 12, it indexed at 100 again. Over the past year, the strongest interest by region has been in Central Europe and Asia. In Singapore, the trend line indexed at 100 during the past year. Japan's high is 91. The Philippines indexed at 53, and Hong Kong indexed at 48. In Australia, the trends index reached 70. In Canada, the index hit 51. In the U.S., 43. And in the U.K., 38. Czechia indexed at 51, followed by the Netherlands at 48, Poland 35, and Germany 43. Matcha conversations are trending upward in Cyprus, the UAE, Qatar, Lebanon, and Kuwait. The 20-year average for matcha is 18 on the index, about half that of green tea. But the one-year average on the Google Trends Interest Over Time Index is 62 compared to 39 for green tea. Japanese green teas are setting records overall. Last August, the unit price for first pick leaves in Yuji averaged $32 per kilo, up 16% compared to 2024. Total sales were 31.7 million at the annual auction, with volume increasing by 44% to 1,126 metric tons. Business Insight. Retailer Ian Chun in Kyoto comments, quote, "What concerns me is that this global boom in matcha primarily benefits large-scale manufacturers and may accelerate the decline of small-scale artisanal farms and factories. Import brands driving demand seek high-quality artisanal products on one hand, but desire to scale to a large size on the other." Quote, "The inefficiency inherent in artisanal production, many small producers making small batches, contradicts the idea of producing at scale. Even if a factory aggregates leaves from many small farms, farmers don't benefit as much," he said. 265 million Chinese drove home for the three-day Qingming tomb-sweeping holiday on April 4th, officially starting the 2025 tea harvest year. According to the Ministry of Transport, Culture, and Tourism, another 20 million traveled by train, an 8.4% increase compared to 2023 and a new single-day record. Skies were fair for the 1.79 million who arrived by plane. These record numbers of travelers illustrate a significant rebound in domestic travel during the 2025 Qingming Festival. The ministry writes that tourism revenue reached $8 billion, that's 58 billion won, up 6.7% from 2024. According to Statista Market Research, China harvested 3.3 million metric tons of tea in 2023, a total expected to grow to 3.65 million metric tons over the next 4 years. This amounts to half of the world's tea. China's compound annual growth rate is projected at 4.5%. Varying conditions across China's key tea-producing regions impacted early harvest and quality in the 2025 pre-Qingming tea season. Early April was warm and welcoming in most of the tea lands. On March 10th, Dongsheng in Jishu province became the first region to begin harvesting leaves that are used to make Bailuchan green tea. In Xixing province, the tea harvest began on March 20th under favorable weather conditions. Westlake Longjing was first plucked on March 21st to align with the spring equinox. Shun Ti Zhongling Jin will follow in 10 days. Siling Village began harvesting tea for its esteemed Mingyan tea on March 22nd. However, the harvest in Puer was delayed until April, due to limited rainfall in March, which slowed budding and resulted in smaller leaves. Leaves that grow slowly are more compact and flavorful after the winter dormancy, suggesting an exceptional aroma profile and quality teas in 2025. Persistent low temperatures and continuous rains in the early days of spring also delayed budding in the Wuyi Mountains, where only a small quantity of pre-Qingming tea was harvested. In Anhui, farmers began plucking tea as early as mid-March. In Wuhu, the harvest was fully underway by April 3rd. Tea will be harvested in higher elevations up to 6,500 feet in late April or May. These teas include Huangshang Maofeng, Mao of Mei, Da Hong Pao, Yongcha, Qimeng, and Jinjumei. Biz Insight. German market research firm Statista project China's at-home hot tea market, that's tea purchased in grocery and convenience stores, at $51 billion in 2025. Tea consumed away from home in restaurants, bars, and the nation's 892,000 tea rooms will generate $64.1 billion for a combined $115.1 billion market, according to Statista. Totals exclude herbal, instant, iced, and tea-derived ready-to-drink beverages. Next, Arvinda and Intheraman in Bengaluru reports on this week's India Tea News.
India Tea News for the week ending 11th April 2025. In the move towards greater diversification in tea estates, the Northeastern Tea Association has asked the central and state governments to extend the national mission on edible oils for oil palm. For tea estates in Assam, the association conducted an independent study and found that tea can be cultivated alongside oil palm, agar tree, and other cash crops. And the rules allow 5% of tea garden land for non-tea cultivation, and this offsets some economic challenges faced by the tea industry. The Assam cabinet has approved the notification of the oil palm crop as a cash crop for the state. And under this scheme, planters can avail assistance for planting material and management during the gestation period, which is 4 years. The association also said that Assam's cultivation of palm oil will enhance edible oil production and reduce the import burden on edible oils. In other news, the Trust Research Advisory's report on trusted brands is out. And once again, Bagh Bakri Tea has made it to the list at the number 2 spot in the FMCG category. This is their 4th consecutive year on the list. The report is based on consumer research and rates consumer loyalty and quality reputation as key attributes. Bagh Bakri is a 133-year-old company headquartered in Ahmedabad in Gujarat and ranks among the top 3 packeteers of branded tea companies in the country. And lastly, Assam and Darjeeling are facing pest infestation. The green fly, which targets tender young leaves, is causing a lot of problems. It causes uneven leaf surfaces, downward curling and browning at the edges, and this is also known as rim blight, and it impacts leaf quality and quantity. The Tea Research Association has said that the green fly infestation, which was used to be seen during the second flush, is now seen through the year because of climatic conditions changing. And they're also growing increasingly pesticide-resistant, and scientists at the TRA are actively exploring both chemical and biological alternatives.
And now, a word from this week's sponsor.
Hello, I'm Bogdan, a passionate tea drinker and the inventor of the ultimate tea machine, the Brewmaker One. Preparation is key to making fine tea. Sequential steepings deliver the best taste possible and unlock the true value of whole leaf teas and botanicals. Brew automates that process without using any pots or capsules. This simple-to-operate smartphone-controlled device stores steeping profiles to consistently make great tea at the push of a button. Brew also reduces time, waste, and energy. That's because I engineered the brew to remember control settings for temperature, brewing time, and quantity. Using my patented process lets you stack steeps simply and conveniently.
Since 1998, consumers purchasing fair trade certified products, including tea, have directed $1.2 billion in increased income to more than 1 million farmers, workers, and their families. Fairtrade USA certifies 1,700 major brands and retailers, ranging from Albertsons and Costco to Kroger, Target, Whole Foods, and Walmart. In his new book, Every Purchase Matters, Fairtrade USA founder Paul Rice writes, quote, "Social change takes time. I believe it's all about creative problem solving and re-engineering business models to deliver sustainability, profitability, and impact," end quote. Paul joins us to discuss the intrinsic value of fair trade and the critical role of consumer purchasing power in driving positive changes in the tea industry. Paul Rice is a visionary social entrepreneur who founded Fairtrade USA in 1998, now North America's leading supplier of fair trade products. He spent 11 years working in the coffee lands, establishing Nicaragua's first fair trade coffee export cooperative, owned by 2,500 families. He graduated from Yale University with a degree in economics and political science and holds a master's in business administration from the University of California, Berkeley. During the past 40 years, he has been awarded many honors as an ethical business leader and for his work as a social engineer. It's good to see you, Paul. I appreciate you taking time to chat. Conscious consumers are changing the world, a movement thoughtfully explored in your new book, Every Purchase Matters. It's a message that resonates globally.
I so appreciate that you took the time to read the book. I'm impressed.
Let's begin our conversation on the power of harnessing consumer preferences by examining how fair trade works.
So fair trade is a certification based on a rigorous set of social and environmental standards that tea farms and other farms around the world adhere to and get audited against every year. When they pass that audit, then they're able to wear that fair trade certified label on their product. And in return, the market pays them more money. And that's kind of the secret sauce of the fair trade model. We believe that companies and consumers should help producers that are on a road to more sustainable livelihoods and sustainable agricultural practices. So in the case of tea, that established fair trade premium is 50 cents per kilo, so roughly a dollar a pound. And that's the amount of money that the buyers, brands, retailers here in the United States, around the world, are paying back to those tea gardens in India and Sri Lanka and other countries. And that money is used by the community to invest in really life-changing benefits for the workers and their families. It's enabling better housing. It's enabling tea gardens to build schools and clinics and provide scholarship money for kids to stay in school. I visited a fair trade certified tea farm in Rwanda a couple of years ago, and that farm had used its fair trade premiums to build a daycare center and an adjacent school and a nutritional center that fed hundreds of kids every day from the tea garden and the surrounding community. And for me, it just kind of blew me away to think that you and I, with something as simple as a cup of tea, can reach halfway across the world and feed kids and help keep those kids in school. And right, that's what fair trade is all about.
Consumers are skeptical, especially of sustainability claims. Research in the Canadian market shows a relatively high degree of mistrust. What makes fair trade trustworthy?
So our research indicates that there's consumer skepticism around unverified claims by companies who say, believe us, trust us, our tea, our coffee, our products are sustainable, but without that layer of independent verification. And, you know, that's really the role of organic certified, of fair trade certified, of non-GMO certified. We are independent third-party auditors that go in and independently of the companies that buy these products, we're verifying the sustainability of the agricultural practices and verifying that workers are taken care of. And so in the case of fair trade, we have very high levels of consumer awareness. Over 66% of consumers in the United States recognize the fair trade certified label. About 40% report buying fair trade certified products, either on a regular or occasional basis. It's even higher in Europe and Canada. Europe kind of started the fair trade movement 15, 20 years before it landed here in the U.S. We launched the fair trade certified label in the U.S. in 1998. It had already been around for quite a while in Europe. So your levels of awareness and adoption in Europe are even higher in the U.S. And, in answer to your question, Dan, I think trust is key. Consumers want products that have social and environmental impact, but they want proof. And so therein lies the value of that independent third-party certification to, provide the reassurance to the consumer that the product with the label actually delivers in terms of social and environmental impact.
Do you see an upward or downward trend in the number of companies applying for or receiving certification, specifically tea companies? I know you're doing great with apparel, coffee, cocoa, fresh produce, dairy, fish, and even home goods.
Definitely an upward trend in two ways, Dan. First of all, in the private label sector, more and more we're seeing growth in coffee, tea, and other products among, grocery stores from Whole Foods to Walmart to Kroger, who are bringing fair trade certification into their private label. So, in fact, my last visit to a tea plantation was Rwanda, and I was visiting there with some executives from Kroger who have a big fair trade tea program, and they've been supporting the Sorwate plantation in Rwanda with a lot of really great projects. So we see a lot of growth in private label tea, and then we're seeing growth in just small, startup coffee and tea brands that are coming into the game now. And the entrepreneurs that are starting these businesses kind of see fair trade and organic or fair trade and other models of sustainability as table stakes. They are looking ahead. They're looking at the numbers on millennials and Gen Z, and they're realizing they have to embrace something like this in order to be successful.
One of the things that concerns growers is the additional cost of certifications. Not necessarily a single certification, but a grower confronting 9 certifications, each of which is essential to a specific market.
Yeah, it's a great question. I would say in the past, farm owners have signed up for fair trade certification because their buyers asked them to. And, as a farm owner, you don't want to lose that relationship. You don't want to lose the sale. You want to follow the market trend. So you say, yes, sir, and you do it. But that motivation has evolved in the last 10 years in a really interesting way, in that more and more farm owners are reporting that they see intrinsic value in the certification for their own farms in three ways, mainly. Number one, tea farmers and other growers are reporting that fair trade certification is helping them retain their workers. We're hearing across agriculture all over the world that worker retention is emerging as the number one challenge, right? Because at the end of the harvest, the workers may leave, they may move to another area, they may go to the cities. And so worker retention is a big deal. And worker retention on fair trade farms is about 4 times higher than worker retention in the industry, in the agricultural industry as a whole. When farm owners can retain their workers, they're more successful, right? Their productivity goes up, their recruitment costs and training costs go down. And so there's real value in fair trade certification or anything that can help stabilize the workforce, number one. Number two, fair trade criteria, fair trade standards require the implementation of integrated pest management and other sustainable agricultural practices, which tend to reduce production costs. Mm-hmm. And so, again, the farm owners are finding value in the standard in terms of their own costs and production challenges on the farm. The third benefit that we're hearing from farm owners is simply that fair trade guarantees a premium back to that farm. And so farm owners may want to invest in better housing for their workers, but may not have the wherewithal to do that, the funding, but right. that fair trade premium gives them the funding to be able to right. do things like that. And so, it has to be, in my view, fair trade and other sustainability approaches have to architect a win-win-win proposition. Otherwise, it isn't sustainable and it isn't scalable. And when I say win-win-win, I'm really thinking about the three key stakeholders in the business model, right? It's the grower, it's the company that's buying that tea, and then it's you and me, the consumer. And if we all find value in this international handshake, if you will, in this fair trade partnership, then the model will grow. And that's what we're seeing. And I believe that's why fair trade tea continues to grow every year.
You titled your book, Every Purchase Matters, to tell the inside story of fair trade and explain conscious consumerism. Will you describe that concept and why every purchase does matter?
And now more than ever, every purchase matters is, in some ways, such a delicious, scary on the top of my 26 years at the helm of Fairtrade USA, the organization I started in 1998. I never really felt like I had earned the right to tell the story until now. And this book is the untold story of our movement. It's the story of great brands and activists and farmers and worker groups who share in their own voice the lessons learned from 26 years of building the fair trade movement, both the wonderful successes and the impact on so many families around the world, but also the failures, those product launches that didn't work. And what did we learn from it? And so my goal in writing this book was to provide insight and inspiration to consumers who are wondering, what is this fair trade thing? And does it really make a difference? And, show me what's under the hood, right? There's a lot of consumer curiosity around things like this. But also, I think this book is in some ways a roadmap for business people that are trying to figure out how to make their businesses more sustainable. So, the title, Every Purchase Matter, is a call to action to business people who are making decisions around how to source products that we consume, but it's also a call to action to the consumer. And especially in times like these where, in here in the United States, we have a government that is reversing or trying to reverse many of the achievements in the sustainability and social justice field. And so many people just feel helpless in the face of this steamroller government that we have here. And yet, you don't have to wait 4 years till the next presidential election to raise your voice for change. You can actually vote with your purchasing dollars every time you go to the store. Every time you go to the store and pick a product, you have a chance to choose a product that is more sustainable and socially responsible or not. And so in that sense, Every Purchase Matters, the title of my book, is a message of hope and of empowerment for every one of us.
Intrigued by what you heard in today's podcast? Would you like to learn more from our global network of T-Biz journalists and tea experts? Remember to visit the T-Biz website for more comprehensive coverage. That's www.t-biz.com. Thanks for listening. Farewell till next week.
Are you looking for legit ways to make extra money? Our friends at The Side Hustle Show have put together this cool free 60-second quiz to help you do just that. All you got to do is go to Hustle That Show. You can do it right from your phone. Answer a few short multiple choice questions, and it'll recommend a few episodes of the hit Side Hustle Show podcast to start with. You can add your personalized Side Hustle Show playlist to your device, learn what works, and start making more money today. Again, that's at hustle.show or follow the award-winning Side Hustle Show in your favorite podcast app.
Produced by Audavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.